Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Anyway, I'm pleased to say Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley join us once again. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, Sean.
To you
hello,
both.
Hello.
Here's your first question. My wife and I have been married for 42 years. We're both in our mid-60s and have just retired. We have enjoyed a happy marriage. There is one area that I'm beginning to struggle with, physical intimacy. She has recently intimated that it might be a good idea for us to have separate beds, but may remain sharing a bedroom. She says it would help with her insomnia. Also, I tend to read until late and have my light on, but I'm afraid that separate beds might be just the beginning of the end of our physical love life, something I treasure. I don't know what to say to her, as she's very sensitive, but I feel I must make some sort of stand in order to save our marriage. Aww.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, I thought this one was like aw as well. I thought that was, it was a bit sad. And somebody said to me the other day that this seems to be something, you know, that happens when people kind of get into their 60s and their late 60s, that very often there's a movement into separate beds for whatever reason. Anyway, and I mean, I can understand the husband who's written into us the reluctance to make the move into single beds, because I think, you know, he's probably right. It could be detrimental to his sex life. But equally, insomnia must be awful. I've never suffered from it, but I couldn't imagine, like, if you find it difficult to sleep and so the slightest thing wakes you up. I can understand why his wife is perhaps suggesting that she might get a better night's sleep if she has her a single bed. Few ideas. I don't know whether they're of any use or not. What about a bigger bed? Could their bedroom accommodate a bigger bed? More space in the bed might allow her to her insomnia. She might find it easier to sleep. So that might be an option. The reading in bed shouldn't be a problem anymore, because nowadays you can buy these lights that, you know, you can either clip them onto the headboard or clip them onto your book, and they literally just spill light onto your book. Or you can buy a Kindle and read. That way you don't need the light on then if you're reading. So that really shouldn't be a problem. So the two problems that he's mentioned, I think, could possibly be helped. And I think it's important that they do have a chat, because I think it's lovely when he said the physical, when he was referring to their physical love life as something that he treasures. I think that's lovely.
Yeah.
And I wonder, has he told her that it is something that he treasures and it's very important to him? So the usual piece of advice also applies, is to maybe sit down and have a wee chat, because he sounds like he wants to work it out. And so therefore, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one. And funnily, a lot of it seems to be around the age side of it. He seems to think that that's the thing about age. But I'm going to give an example of somebody who was talking to me recently. I know a young, recently married lesbian couple who are from America, who are very wealthy, but they're just not comfortable sleeping in the same marriage bed. So what they do is they have their own separate rooms and another room which they use for their conjugals. which is very, very fabulous altogether, and gas. But the principle of that is the same thing that I would suggest, is that while the bedroom is for sleeping, it's also for other activities like reading in bed and whatever else. Finding a way to make it all work together is kind of hard sometimes. You know, when you can be in the bedroom going, oh, you're snoring, you're making noises. And as you get older, it becomes more of a problem, because people are more likely to be big snorers. They're more likely to, you know, be restless sleepers and all that kind of stuff. So you have to find a way to make that part work, because if you don't get a good night's sleep, you're going to be cranky and you're not going to be interested in anything else. So the wife wants to sort out her sleeping thing, which is her prerogative, and I think that they need to find a way for the sleeping thing to happen first, and then he can come in later and have his romantic side. And that doesn't have to happen in the bedroom anyway. That can happen on your big couch.
Yeah, but do you not think, I know, yeah, and I agree with all of that. And you know, but do you not think that there's something, and especially I think as you get older, the actual just fact that you're sharing a bed with somebody and that you can feel somebody and snuggle up to somebody who's beside you, even leaving the sex out of it, adds to the kind of intimacy of a relationship
and
the kind of cement.
Yes, but also, I've got hot flushes and you're too hot, get away from me as well. So there's a lot of it's a combination of, like, you know, yeah, a little bit of colour me, yes, come over and give me a hug, but also get off me and you're snoring.
So. And you're breathing on me.
Stop breathing on me.
Stop making that noise. If they've been together though for 42 years and this is their habit, I mean, it's a big deal if suddenly they're not sleeping in the same bed anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is. I would honestly think that they should try and work out a compromise in order to stay in the same room.
Look, if Rock Hudson and Doris Day can make single beds look kind of sexy, and oh, actually, now that I mention it,
well, Rock Hudson.
Yes. I call my bed denial.
Yeah. And you can make your own bed over there.
You can call yours the Shannon.
Pillow talk.
I share my bed with my husband, who is 6'2", two kids, and sometimes the dog is thrown in for good measure. They all snore, even the dog. Every now and again, I secretly check myself into a hotel during the day just so I can have uninterrupted sleep and a break from all of them. Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. If you can do that.
Why can't you just go to bed during the day? Why does she have to check into a hotel?
If you're at home, someone's bound to interrupt you or phone you, or the dog's barking or somehow.
That sounds like an amazing alibi.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, she's doing something else about a hotel.
She works for
MI6. Why would you have to go to a hotel?
Just for sleep.
But her kids, she'll have to get them minded if they are at home, if she goes to a hotel.
Well, maybe they're at school.
Well, then why didn't she just go to bed?
I don't know. The dog's there.
I don't buy that.
We're so the suspicious dog's today.
Separate rooms is the end of intimacy, full stop, not just sex. Two single duvets on a double bed really help with sleeping together. Yeah. So somebody else, that's an idea. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, the things the hotels do where the single beds go together to make a big double bed.
Yeah, you can hook them and unhook them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For years, it was an ambition of mine to work in a big accounting and consultancy firm. From all the research I put in, I came to the understanding that it was a stable job with good money that would keep on getting better and better. So I enrolled at university and spent years studying accountancy. And I mean it when I say that I loved every bit of the course. Afterwards, I secured a job in a company that employs hundreds of people, and that's where the trouble began. My old job before all of this was in a small office, and there was really only a strong sense of community among the co-workers. We all got on really well in this new place. I didn't seem to be able to get along or build personal relationships with anybody. There are groups of people who I've tried going for drinks with on a Friday, but they prefer bars and venues that I cannot identify with. I find that in general, there's a lack of cultural appreciation and a lack of depth all round. Workplace friends are important for me. I spend well over 40 hours a week there every week. I'm not ready to give up trying, but I'd love if you guys have any tips on how to help improve the situation.
Yeah, this is the classic delusion that big is better, that these big companies offer everything to make the ideal workplace environment. And you know, I've noticed over the years that these larger companies, you know, the big multinationals, the big tech companies and all of these banks and consultancy firms spend a lot of money to give the impression that the place that they as a workplace that they're amazing. Now, a lot of them are amazing, they do provide, because of scale, they can give quite a diverse workplace environment, and they also have to be seen to be doing things like working, you know, for rights for the minorities and all that kind of stuff. However, you know, the reality of it is that whatever group you're in, it either works for you or it doesn't work for you. And this guy has just found himself in an environment where for now, it's not really working for him or her. What I would suggest that this person does is, because there's so many people there, a big pool of people to tap into, I'd suggest that they create their own group of a thing that they're interested in, whether it's film, wine.
So like in college, you'd have to like this society and that society and the other society.
A lot of these big organisations have loads of these, you know, they have the
social clubs
and whatever. Yeah. To find a way to find like-minded people. And the reason why I'm tapping onto that line is because of the mention here of a lack of cultural appreciation and, you know, general lack of depth all around. So obviously this person is looking for a particular kind of interaction, not your water cooler chat about keeping up with the Kardashians or whatever was on the telly last night. This person wants something a bit more intellectual or cultural. So for two reasons, setting it up, you'll find maybe, hopefully, like-minded people. And two, it's good for your career to be seen, to be taking on that kind of a leadership role. Your organisation will like that. I would say do that. Maybe try to get the people on the board or the people in senior management to be into the same thing as you. Fast track yourself to promotion and then shut the place down.
And fire everybody.
Fire everybody for being superficial.
Okay, well, that wasn't helpful, Gavin, frankly.
No, I was joking about
that. The first bit was, set up your own club.
You know, if you can't find something that you like, make it happen. Make the
Part of the problem here is managing his own expectations. I mean, he had this ambition to work in this big accounting and consultancy firm. And I can understand why, because like you described them, I would concur. I've never worked in one, but we all know that that the way they operate, and they have these fancy schmancy, very cool work environments, etc. Yeah. They're also generally very well paid. So, you know, yeah, that's all great. But I think he has had this bigger expectation in that, as well as working in the big company and getting the big, you know, obviously being reasonably well paid, he would have all these really meaningful friendships. But it's work, not, you know, your workplace doesn't guarantee you that you're going to find meaningful relationships or friendships with anybody. So I think he needs to manage his own expectations of the workplace a little bit as well.
He sounded
much more comfortable when he was in the smaller organization where there was probably a different vibe altogether. Mm. I also don't know whether there's an age thing here. Is there? And I don't want to be ageist and I don't want to make assumptions. But when he said about the cultural, there was no cultural depth, and also that they frequent bars and places that he couldn't identify with. I'm not,
people
like, are
going,
they
for,
too
going
noisy?
To bars after work? Yeah. That's unheard of.
He might say it's the kind of bar that they go to. You know, maybe they're all hipsters or maybe they're all whatever.
But I'm wondering, is there an age gap here as well? Like, to me, I think he needs to consider, like, you know, work is a very important part of anybody's life because you spend an awful lot of time at work. So you need to enjoy your work. But if he can just in his mind fix that, when he goes to work, he's at work and that's it.
Yeah.
And then he comes home and he finds his cultural depth and he finds the pubs he likes to go to and his own tribe of people that he wants to hang out with separately, I would think that's possibly a much healthier way than expecting to have this whole big social thing.
A lot of
thing.
These big companies, though, they set up their businesses to make you stay at work longer.
That's
they,
exactly
they
it.
Want you there.
They
you go into
you.
Facebook or Google or Airbnb, they have these kitchens with free snacks and free drinks and whatever. It's not because they want you to be happy. It's because they want you to stay
there. Stay there, exactly.
And also as well, in those bigger companies, like in a small company, there's probably more a shared aim. Whereas in these bigger companies, your colleagues are competing with you as well. And there's no, you know, you're part of a corporate
these
thing.
These guys are accountants.
I didn't make any jokes.
I was trying to avoid making any reference to that.
But that,
you know, it's probably more difficult for that reason. It's more corporate.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's a corporation. It doesn't give a damn about you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think perhaps he had an expectation that was too high of what he would find in this new job that he studied so long for in college.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
that doesn't mean he won't make friends. It just might take longer. And people probably need a process of getting to trust each other and that kind of stuff too.
Exactly.
But people do work really long hours and finding a space within that schedule for something that's meaningful rather than a wind down drink after work. It's a hard one. It's a hard one. But I think if it's not on offer, he should try to create the opportunity, because not only will that possibly solve a social problem, but it also, it's a career move as well.
Enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
I am 4 months pregnant and beginning to show. Thank you.
However,
I've been wearing baggy clothes in order to conceal my pregnancy at work. Myself and a male colleague are both competing for a promotion. I'm really concerned that our boss will choose him over me if he finds out I'm with child. I know this is ridiculous. I don't think it's ridiculous, but I desperately want the promotion. At the same time, I feel like I shouldn't need to be covering up in this day and age, and that the law should protect me from discrimination. Am I being overly cautious or naive? Have you any advice?
I mean, she's right. She shouldn't feel the need to be covering up her pregnancy in this day and age in a workplace. And, you know, obviously there is legislation to protect her from discrimination because of the fact that she is pregnant. But obviously, in a situation like this, that discrimination can be very hard to prove. Mm. So, you know, the lived experience is a little bit different. And that's why we need compulsory paternity leave in order to even out the playing field when it comes to people with families and work and all that kind of stuff.
Compulsory paternity leave?
Yeah, no, there should be paternity
leave. Force them to take time off or to look after your children.
Because it's been proven in countries where there is paternity leave, men don't take it up.
Yes, that's true.
So what happens is the women are taking maternity leave, longer maternity leave, whereas if the men were told if you have a baby, you have to take a month off or 6 weeks off or whatever, and you have to take it, well, then I think it would make it an awful lot more even of a playing field.
Yeah.
You know, because employers do, no matter how much they dress it up, they do look at a woman who's pregnant, oh God, she's going to be out for so many months and we have to replace her and yada yada. Whereas if it was more equal, it would reduce that a little bit. Having said that, I mean, this woman is pregnant and she's not going to be able to hide the pregnancy for much longer. Yeah. So one way or the other, she's on hiding to nothing because she doesn't have a choice of being able to hide it. So all she can do is make sure that your boss, and again, I hate having to say this because you shouldn't have to do this, but ensure that your boss knows you're very committed, you're coming back after your maternity leave, you know, you're on a career track, you're interested in the promotion, you're interested in career advancement. As I say, you shouldn't have to, but make sure that he does in case he's assuming that you're going to now start stepping back, which, you know, a lot of women do as well. So make sure that he knows that you've no intention of doing that and that you're as committed as you ever were, that you'll be back after maternity leave, that you're very interested in this particular promotion. And if the worst happens and you genuinely feel that you've been passed over purely because you're now a mother, then you need to pursue that as best you can. But unfortunately, it's
so the option is, if she doesn't get the job, to then say, well, you know, she's going in for an interview where the guy goes, if he knows she's pregnant, she's going to be gone for next year.
I know.
But then she doesn't get the job and she starts kicking up. So she's difficult as well as not being here for the next year.
What is the choice?
No, I wouldn't tell him.
Wouldn't tell him she's pregnant?
No.
But should they know she's pregnant? She's going to have a bump.
She's going to have a bump, but if she can hide it until after the interview.
Oh, if she can hide it.
Tell him.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know at the time. Oh, I wouldn't tell them, but I mean, she's not going to be
able. I wouldn't tell her. I wouldn't say anything until.
But she's 4 months pregnant, lads. She's not going to be able to hide it for much longer than about another month.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean? In fairness, unless she's got an interview in the next couple of weeks, that's not going to be an option. He's going to bloody know she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I wasn't suggesting that she should go in and, you know, present it with pregnant, you know, and all the rest of it. But in fact, you should be able to do that, but I'm not suggesting she should do that. But I am suggesting is that she's not going to be able to hide it for much longer, unless the interview is coming up in the next fortnight. He's going to know she's pregnant with all that.
I mean, unfortunately, it is, you know, in an ideal world and in a world where we all take on the value system of protecting women and allowing them to have children while maintaining a career, there's a whole like, yeah, thumbs up. But the reality of it is that women are faced with this decision every single day. There's a woman listening right now who's going, oh, that's exactly me. There's probably loads of women going, I can't tell my boss, you know. I could be, no, I'm not me, but you know.
Yeah. Whatever. Come on, to anybody. To the pregnant woman, just leave loads of McDonald's wrappers in your desk bin every day. They won't think you're pregnant. It's sorted. Yeah. We can say what we want about living in a progressive society, but we don't, says another texter. I have a small company and can't afford to have people on leave for long periods of time. And, you know, that unfortunately is a factor. That doesn't make it fair.
That's the clash of what I was trying to talk about. The clash of the ideal system versus the economic system banging hard against each other. Yeah. Where women's rights versus.
But at least if it wasn't just. I mean, unfortunately, biology means that it's only women who can actually have the babies, but at least if the fathers were taking time off as well, it wouldn't make it so easy to discriminate against women.
Well, somebody's texting in about that. You can't force people to take time off work. That's not how a democratic republic works. Yeah, Kim Song.
That's me sorted.
Don't get me wrong, there'd be no need to force me, but it's just still a ridiculous idea. Someone else says, I wouldn't tell him I'm a female boss and I would choose her male colleague. I know it's wrong, but that's life. P.S. I'm a mother of 4 under 10.
Yeah.
Isn't that hard? Mammy, seriously. Yeah.
That's the harsh reality, and it's really hard and horrible, but you can see how that would be, and especially if it's a small company.
Listen, I'm going to go out of here now so depressed.
God, I'm so depressed.
And I wasn't in great form when I came in, and now I'm really in bad form. Yeah.
Okay, Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Great.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.